You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
I don't know how to say this. Betelgeuse star?
You're not a child of the 80s. If you were, you would know the film with a similar name. The star is Betelgeuse.
Oh.
Yeah.
The Wire.
The Labour Party's controversial Three Waters reforms were repealed last week. National's replacement plan seeks to address the complaints of many who push back against the bill while maintaining support for challenged regions. Additionally, this Sunday saw National leader Christopher Luxon pushed out of the yearly Big Gay Out event by protesters. Amongst other issues, the protesters are standing against proposed changes to the school curriculum, removing and replacing gender, sexuality and relationship-based education guidelines. Caster spoke to National's James Meagher about the Three Waters replacement, including recent environment concerns. He also discusses the curriculum changes and how the National Party supports queer young people.
National's replacement for Labour's Three Waters policy has been in the news a lot recently. What were the main issues, if any, with Labour's existing policy?
Yeah, so that was their Three Waters reforms. We repealed those last week and restored the situation back to where it was in about November 2022, I want to say. The main issue with Labour's reforms were that they took control away from local councils and local decision makers. So they purported to essentially try and say to local councils, we don't think you've done a good enough job and we'll do it for you. And we'll take away the assets that your ratepayers have built up over years and years and years. So for councils like mine, actually, down south in Timaru and Ashburton, we've got really good water down here. Timaru's won top prize for water quality over the past couple of years. And so they thought that was unfair that their responsibility and control was being taken away for problems that they saw as being stemmed in other parts of the country. So that was the main issue. And so we want to move to a system where councils retain control and decision-making over the quality of their water infrastructure. Government will put some standards in place, and where councils need some help financially, government will come along and help them.
What is the National Party offering in a bit more detail as a replacement to Labor's Three Waters policy?
Yeah, so we've got two bits of legislation coming through later on this year. The first one will establish the infrastructure regulator. So we've said to councils, yep, okay, over the past few decades, some councils haven't held up their end of the bargain and they've let their infrastructure slide. So we're going to put some minimum standards in place that say things like, when you raise money to spend on water, you actually have to spend it on water infrastructure, and we're going to have some minimum standards. And then for councils that might need some extra help to meet those standards, there's going to be a second piece of legislation which essentially helps put the funding tools and mechanisms in place. And the key thing is that they'll differ from council to council depending on what the council's needs are. So it might be that councils set up a separate water entity, a CCO, which can borrow a bit more than what the councils can under their current debt limits. It could be that the councils choose to introduce targeted rates, or it could be that the government comes along and supports councils directly with additional funding where they really are struggling. So there are some local authorities down south who have huge, huge areas of land to cover off and not a large ratepayer base, and they're the ones that might need a little bit of extra additional support from government directly.
Some environmental groups, including Greenpeace, Forest and Bird and the World Wildlife Fund, have issued a warning relating to the proposed fast-track consenting bill for the Three Waters policy. Particularly, it looks like the environmental protections from the current consenting framework will be bypassed. Can you offer anything to address these concerns?
Yeah, look, I think it's everything has to be done in balance, right? And over the past few decades, more and more of us are being aware of the environmental impact of development and of the things that we do. And so we do have to tread cautiously. But at the same time, that comes at the risk of not getting anything done. And we have a massive infrastructure deficit in this country. And so over the past few decades, nothing's been built. So it's a balancing exercise, and we think that by choosing some carefully selected projects, nationally and regionally significant projects, putting them on a fast-track consent process where you still have those environmental considerations in there and you may still have some offsetting ability for these projects, but just the actual consent itself gets sped up. So you take away a huge amount of the costs and upfront time used to get your regular consenting process. And actually some of the cost savings can then be put into offsetting environmental protections.
Switching to a slightly different topic, this weekend Prime Minister Christopher Luxon was met with some criticism at Big Gay Out for the government's planned changes to sexuality and relationship guidelines in schools. How can the National Party campaign in queer spaces like Big Gay Out without supporting queer young people?
Well, I don't think the two are contradictory. I think you can campaign and represent and support everyone, regardless of their background or how they identify or their sexuality. I mean, part of the core philosophy of the National Party is respecting individuals and respecting their choice and respecting individual freedom. And part of that is trying to keep government out of our lives as much as possible. So I think we can campaign strongly on that space, and I think we've got a good record in recent years of supporting LGBT youth and queer communities. So I don't think they're contradictory. I understand that, you know, people also have the right to protest and the right to challenge policies that they may disagree with. And sometimes they choose to use events like the GAY to do that, and that's perfectly fine as well if it's done in a challenging but respectful manner.
Yeah, with that, you mentioned obviously the things that National Party has done to support LGBT people. What policies is the National Party offering currently to support Aotearoa's queer rangatahi?
Well, it's interesting because the way that the National Party philosophy operates is that we don't necessarily buy into this idea that just because you belong to a particular group, you are bound by the characteristics of that group. And so when we govern and we set policies, we set them for all New Zealanders. And so we think that, you know, queer youth and LGBT communities, they are income earners, they are taxpayers, they use the roads, they are sports people, they are as much a part of the community as every single other person are. And so when we look at policies like reducing the cost of living, that helps LGBT communities. When we look at policies like improving the quality of our roads and restoring law and order and fixing the education system and restoring public services, those are all policies that benefit all communities, including the queer communities. So don't look at the absence of specific policies as meaning that we don't support those communities. We just tend to see people as individuals and families first and not necessarily by their group.
Moving towards the RSE education changes, young people have petitioned Parliament three times since 2017 for better relationship, consent and sexuality education. Does the new changes to RSE education, does this policy align with the needs of young people or the needs of their parents?
Well, I think it is a balance of both, again. And I think the responsibility of parents to and families to guide their children is more important early on in a child's life. And as, you know, children grow up and get older and they become more independent, they should, by right, have more influence, more say over what they're being taught and the kind of relationship advice they're receiving in schools. So I think what happened towards the end of the last few years was that probably that balance got a little out of whack for many families, and that they thought that what was being taught at the lower age levels wasn't age appropriate. And so that's where the real pushback has come. And we've said, look, yeah, we hear the concerns, we're going to go back and have a look at all that stuff. But then recognising that, you know, once you get to high school, and it hasn't been that long since I was at high school, but I remember being taught pretty rudimentary stuff in our sort of health and PE classes and biology classes. And all that stuff around what's appropriate in relationships and treating each other respect is probably something that should be taught in schools. It's a good place to provide that information to young people. But we've also got to be wary about allowing enough space in schools to teach everything else that we require them to teach too. So I think, again, it's a big balancing exercise, and we just need to go back and relook at whether or not we're getting it right at the younger end, and actually whether or not we're doing enough at the older end to support those people who are going through some pretty new and, I would say, confusing parts of their life.
That was Caster speaking to National Party's James Meagher about the Three Waters replacement and the proposed curriculum changes.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.